Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to jump into it. I just feel like God wants to release fire in people's, start house fires today, spiritual house fires. So, if that's you, you could just go ahead and lift your hands up. Both my kids, kind of prayed for me today, but it was funny because they didn't really pray for me, but they kind of prayed for me. You know, when we were doing that prayer time, you're like, wait, we have our hands raised. Do we put them down? Wait, just a minute. Just hold them there for a second. You can do it. But when Ben prayed for me, there was such joy. And then Phoebe started just jumping on me, you know. But I just feel like God wants to do something in our households. Just extended house. And in the Greek, if you studied out, household was your neighbor. I mean, it included your whole block. I mean, it basically included all your associations. It didn't have to be right next door or right in your house. But it started to... I just believe there's fire being released this morning to pour through our houses. It's like house fires. People are going to even come to your house and wonder, and, it's not just because there's smoke outside, but they're going to wonder, what is the burning fragrance? And it's going to be you literally on fire. So, Lord, right now, fire. Amen. Amen. It's good. So, we're continuing our series, and the glory on your house. And I'm so grateful that I get to share with you what I believe God put in my heart, and that we started off with this series just talking about how it's in the very heart of God to give you his glory, to share with you his glory. So you don't have to wonder about that. Psalm 84:11 says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." It's pretty powerful that right there contains the promise that he wants to give you grace and his glory. Last week, Pastor Caleb preached a great message out of Haggai that there is a people that had been commissioned. They had vision, but they were untested and unseasoned. And God was taking them through this process where they believed it was time to kind of give up on the work and the commission. And God was pulling them back into that original vision. And he was telling them that as they welcomed the right priorities, God's presence, God's glory was now welcome in their lives. They put him first. They would be recipients of his glory. It was amazing because they went through and Caleb went through talking about trials and how as we are in trials that we cannot forget that God is with us in those trials and he's going to work all things together for good. Such a reminder that he is always with us. I was thinking of 2 Corinthians 4:17 as he shared, and it says this, I don't have it up on the screen, but I just want to throw this as review for last week, even though it wasn't a scripture given last week. But I can do that, right? So 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory." So for a light moment or a small moment, a short moment, we may be in troubles. If we put trouble and glory in the scale, there's nothing to compare it. Glory has a great and outweighs, is greater and outweighs the trouble that you are going through or the trial that you are going through. And it outlasts the trouble that you are going through. So in comparison, if you put the trial or tribulation that you go through in this life and you compare it to what God is actually working in you, what he's doing is so much greater than that actual testing or trial. Amen. All right, on to today. Lord, be with us. Fan into flame passions that have maybe been dormant in our hearts. Revive us, Holy Spirit. Cause a hunger and a thirst to come out of our hearts that we didn't even know was possible to have in us. Move in this place beyond what the foolishness of preaching can do. God, meet everyone where they need to be met this morning. You are so capable and so amazing, and your power extends beyond what we can imagine. Lord, so touch the hearts and let it be as you're speaking directly to them. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, see, the passion's flowing this morning. I don't think I officially cried last. I quivered, but I didn't actually have tears come down last service. But all right, here we go. My best effort given forth this morning. Amen. What we're talking about when we talk about the glory of God, though, is the radiant presence and beauty, the majesty of the Lord, the infinite worth of God. All things that make God really his excellence, his how beautiful he is, desirable, all that summed up in the glory of God. I mean, if you start to study the glory of God, anybody done a personal study on the glory of God? It is like all encompassing. It feels like you're studying the whole Bible and you're just like, I don't even know where to start, where to land, where to go, because it's just who he is. Because when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the fullness of God. That's why you get a little overwhelmed. You're like, wow. And John 1:14 tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we begin to see something, not just an outward manifestation of a splendor, but what we begin to see is actually the character and nature of God. So when we see his glory, we're seeing his fullness. We're seeing who he is, really. So when God gives glory, he gives himself to us. And reminded, it's his desire to give you his glory. He's saying, I want to give you all that I am. And so I want to talk this morning about hosting the glory of God. I know that many of us have heard of hosting the presence of the Lord. Some of us here have heard that statement. But I want to talk to you a little bit about hosting the glory, the manifestation of his splendor, the fullness, the increasing. And in order to do this, I feel like we should go to a man who experienced an incredible amount of glory even before Jesus Christ came on earth, and that man was Moses. If you've known the story of Moses, he has this encounter with God. He develops this intimate face-to-face relationship. The scripture tells us he talked to God like they were friends. They just had conversations with each other. But he has this incredible encounter with God where he receives of the Lord's splendor, of his beauty, of his majesty. And his face begins to shine out. Like, I mean, people thought it was so creepy. They asked him to put a scarf around his head, right? They're like, please, you're scaring us. You're a little strange. You know, like, because he's glowing. Anybody else tell you, like, you're glowing. You got a brightness about you, and it was physical, it was tangible, that people begin to see in his life because he experienced an exchange with God. God gave him some of his splendor. So I want to pick up in Exodus 33, and before I read verse 17, we're in the midst of a conversation that God and Moses are having. And Moses is asking God, he's saying, God, I want your presence, please. Anybody like, oh God, I want your presence. You know, whether you recognize it or not, that's a desire of every person. God, I want to have an encounter with you. I want to be close to you. It's how he's wired us. And so Moses is crying out, God, don't take us from here. Don't lead us into all those promised land, all that lush place. I'd rather abide in the desert, in the dry place, if you're there, than go off into somewhere where you're not. Even though it seems wonderful, it seems great, but if you're not there, it's nothing. And so he's like, God, please give me your presence and teach me your ways. I want to know you. And this is what God answers. Verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. What a powerful answer to prayer. Makes you want to pray more, doesn't it? God's like, I will do that. I will do what you asked. But let's go on, because he doesn't stop there. Verse 18, and he said, please show me your glory. This was after the promise of the presence of God. This was something greater. He says, then he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. God is saying, I'm going to do what you've required, or you requested, what you wanted. I'm going to do this thing. Now, some of us, we get stuck, you know, we think the presence, that's it. But I want to tell you, I have just 3 points for you today. 3 simple points you can follow along. Number one, we are to invite the glory of God into our life. And the other, to be a host or a host, like if you're like, I'm not comfortable with the name host, hostess, whatever. The other, to host the presence of God, you need to invite his glory into your life. Moses made this request. He's like, there's more than the presence. There's more than that. There's the fullness of who he is. I want to see that. I want to know that. I want to get there. When was the last time you were really like hungry for God? You know, I mean, like really hungry, where it didn't matter what was on the worship list, you know, what they were singing up here. I mean, you're like, the doors are open. You're here. I'm like, this is my time. This is my moment. I got to have my God encounter. I mean, you're like, you're so hungry that food doesn't even satisfy. You're like, I can't even, who cares about food? I just need to get into his presence. I just need to be with him. Or that time you're like, who cares what the score of the game is anymore? Like, it doesn't matter what's on TV. I want Jesus. And you just go into your room and you shut the door and you're like, I got to find him. I got to be with him. And I got to find his, be in his glory. I got to be in his presence. And welcome him and hunger for him. Be ravenous. You know, there are times, I was like, I've never been like starving. But, you know, as a high school student, sometimes you feel like you're starving. Most of us are older than high school in here, but you know how young teenager, you get hungry, you know, you get hangry, you know what John was talking about the other. You get where like you're playing sports, you know, my mom would give us money to budget and we can make a choice. We can make our lunch or we could use that money to like go out to the movies or whatever. So, but what I would do is usually spend it the first period of class because they would go around and sell like M&Ms and chocolate bars. You know, all the clubs like sold chocolate. And by, like, second period, I had no money left for lunch. Anybody relate? Okay, so, I have a problem. That's the first step, right? Okay, no, so I would spend my money, and so I was playing with these sports, and sometimes I would overlap in my sports. I would do, like, cross country, and then I'd go to a two-hour basketball practice, and then I'd have swim, you know, team, and just, like, crazy amount. And I was, like, so hungry walking on my campus. And when you're hungry, you'll eat any really hungry. You'll eat anything. You all agree with me before I say the next statement? Some of you are not committing. I'm so hungry, and lo and behold, I love that. Lo and behold, as I walk through the campus, there, laying in a nice little plastic sandwich baggie, is a tuna sandwich left over from someone's lunch. Yes. I ate it. And I survived. I'm here to tell you about it. Now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he does like mayonnaise after an hour, you know, like this has been like 6 hours. I don't even know. So 8 hours, I don't know, maybe longer. But ate it because when you're hungry, what you'll eat anything. The scripture tells us that to the when you're full, you loathe even the sweet things. But if you are hungry, then hungry, the bitter things are sweet. And there's a place where you just get to, and it's like, God, it doesn't matter. I just want whatever you're serving today. I just want it. I'm so hungry. Even the bitter becomes sweet. What do you have? I want more of you. And I believe God wants to awaken a hunger for him, that it's okay to be ravenous. You don't have to wait to go out in all pursuit of him. You don't have to wait for the person next to you in the chair next to you to really get into it, you know, or get into this God thing. It's about you and him. Just go after him. Hunger after him. Reach for him. Invite his glory. Say, God, I want your glory. Start calling out to him. Say, hey, you promised it. I want it. Reach to him. When was the last time you ripped open your own heart and said, King of glory, come in. I am the everlasting door. So Psalm 24, King of glory, go ahead and come in. Let him come into your heart. And so Moses' request here is that, God, show me your glory. And God answered him. He said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to do that. But it didn't appear in some like ominous cloud or fantastic splendor, power display. It said, I'm going to have all my goodness. God said, I'm going to have all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to declare my name. I'm going to reveal my name to you. I'm going to express my nature, my fullness to you. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed his goodness, his mercy, his love, his compassion. And so we see that here, the show me your glory. He said, I'm going to let all my beauty pass right before you. But he warned Moses. He said, you can't see it all and live. What kind of God is so beautiful that you can't see all of him and survive? I mean, that's some kind of beauty right there. Most of us get afraid when we think, I'm going to see God. We get like really scared and, you know, this kind of thing. But here it's like, it's because he's so beautiful. He's so absolutely glorious. His splendor, the majesty, his might, his excellence, the joy of who he is would probably cause you to burst from the inside out. You guys, some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, let me explain it to you in human terms. When Caleb and I were younger, we're almost been married for 20 years now. And it's only 19 and a half right now, but I'm like making it 20 like all of this next week. But I really, really liked him. Like, so, he was so gorgeous. Like the definition of beautiful. Like, you know, you don't usually call men beautiful, but Like, he's like, he's so cute. Like, on a set firm. So, I mean, like, all that a bag of chips, right? Like, just like hunky, hunky man. And so we'd be in church here, back in the day with the marble and the pews. And I would be talking to friends and he'd like walk up and I wouldn't know what to do because like, oh my gosh, Caleb, you know, like he's just wonderful and awesomeness. I was overwhelmed with his awesomeness. And so I couldn't talk. I got flustered, like, I probably turned red, and you can't make eye contact, because that's, like, the most awkward thing to do when you like somebody. You're, like, looking around, because it's just, like, they can see into your soul or something, you just, like, because they're so beautiful, it makes you, like, melt from the inside out. Okay, and so, like, I would literally run away, like, literally take off in the opposite direction. And it was happening repeatedly, like, it just wouldn't, I couldn't get comfortable. And so, one day, he's driving me home or something, and he finally asked, he's like, so, I noticed that you're running away from me all the time. Do you like me? I'm like, yes, I like you. Okay, it all worked out for good because now I get to live with the awesomeness, right? Like, I get to be like, yeah. Ow, baby. Okay. anyway, okay. But you can't separate God from his goodness. And it's funny because some of us run away from the goodness of God because we don't think we deserve it, or somehow we can't handle it, or we just think that's too good for us. And we're like taking off the other direction. And God's saying, no, I want to live with you. I want to be with you. I want to give my all to you. And so when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about this fullness of who he is coming to our life, his awesomeness coming into our life. Don't keep running away. Even Haggai, where Caleb was last week, and Haggai 2, talks about the nations and what God will do in the nations. He says, I'm going to shake all nations, and the desire of the nations will come, and I will fill this house with my glory. Haggai 2:7. I'm going to shake the nations. Again, some of us have like such a concept of that. We're like, that's negative, that's bad. He's going to shake nations. And God's saying, no, that means to actually throw my weight around. The word for glory actually is the weight. It can be the weightiness of God, the substance of God. And so when he's shaking the nations, he's just like, I'm literally going to move in the nations. And it's going to cause a stirring of desire. And then all these people are going to come and my house is going to be full of glory. Whoa. Start to shake. Start to throw his weight around. My second point this morning is not only do we need to invite the glory of God, we need to allow the revelation of his glory to transform us. We need to allow that revelation of who he is, of his fullness, to change us. You guys, we have to make room. There's a difference really between hosting somebody for a few days and having them come live with you. When you got guests coming over, sometimes you can just chuck things in the closet and hide it. And, it's all good for a few days, right? But when they live with you, you got to clean out the stuff. You got to make room. And God's like, I want more than just weekend visits with you. I want soul custody. Like, he wants to be there all the time with you. And we need to change something. We need to start cleaning out. When a person moves in, you clean up, clean out, you hand over the TV remote. You even share it with them. We need to start doing that with our relationship with the Lord. I'm surprised sometimes of how many of us want Jesus to visit. We want the blessing, but we don't want to make room for him to stay permanently. And we're inviting the fullness of who he is. We're saying, God, I want you to come permanently. I want you to remain here in this place. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, and we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are moving from glory to an ever increasing glory as we behold him, as we see his splendor, as we see his awesomeness, as we go, wow, you are beautiful, you are loving, you are compassionate. We take on his nature and let him become a part of who we are. Sometimes we want the manifestation, but not the master. We want, the glory. We use glory in such weird ways. But we don't want the change from the inside out. We want the radiance and the glow, but not to be transformed. Exodus 29:43 tells us this. God saying to the people of Israel, he's saying, and there, speaking of the tabernacle, I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I believe he's giving us a New Testament clue here that God would work in us. He was sanctified means to cleanse or to make holy. He says, I'm going to make you holy by my glory. So when you behold me, when you see me, when you're pursued of me, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to change you into who I am. That holiness, that cleanliness is going to come on you. My glory will cleanse you. And so God offers hope. Your temple that you are will be made clean by the revelation of his glory. We need to let God's glory displace some things in our lives. When you're full of something else, you know, the scripture says he does not give his glory to another. That's to an idol. He does not give. The context of that is to other idols. So if your house is full of things it shouldn't be full of, you're wondering why you're lacking in increasing glory. It's because you haven't made room. You're full of something else. And he's like, I'm not sharing. We need to get those things out and deal with those things. And so the fullness of who he is can come into our lives. Some of us, though, are so molded our lives around this identity or these other things that we don't even know how we could do without them. We've gotten so used to what's in our closet, so to speak, that we don't even know how we could even live without them. And God's saying, no, before you had the closet, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. You were mine. I called you by name. You are mine. And so we have to go back to the original purpose of God. If you're stuck in something, if you feel like you're trapped in something, you feel like you have things that people should not know about, God's saying, I want that from you, and you're going to be okay. You're going to come through it. You're going to be able to give it up and change and transform. He's not going to leave you empty. He's going to fill you with his fullness, with his joy, with his goodness, with his awesomeness. Some of us nurse hurts and we coddle fear and unforgiveness and we feed destructive patterns. So we're holding on to these things, but God's saying, go ahead and let go. You know, and I was thinking about this too. I know it's sometimes easy to point the finger at other people and be like, well, you know, you live passionately, you live with the glory, and, you know, I'm going to excuse myself and I'll be a little less accountable to that. A good illustration of this is a story of a mother who's preparing pancakes for her two sons, Kevin and Ryan. Kevin's 5 years old and Ryan is a three-year-old, and they're beginning to bicker back and forth about who gets the first pancake, right? Kevin's like, mine, no, mine. You know, anybody have kids? Okay. So their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. Wise mother, right? I'm going to use this. So she told them, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. So Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. How many of us are wanting other people to be like Jesus, but we're excusing ourselves? We need to allow God to work and the revelation of who he is to work in our lives and not turn to the brother next to you and be like, hey, you be like Jesus, but I'm off the hook. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us." I mean, if you haven't memorized a scripture, at least memorize this one. "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." I think I have a pretty vivid imagination and, you know, ideas of what God could do. And God's saying, no, I am so much greater than that. But that's not even the real point of the scripture. According to his power that works in us. In other words, he is working in you. Be encouraged today. He is working in you. And the metric for measuring what God wants to do in us is based in his power and not ours. The measurement device he uses to measure what he's going to do is based in himself and not in us. Wow. I love our God. Like, I mean, this is such a good thing. He is so awesome. He is so amazing. And some of you are still sitting there going, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. None of us deserve this. He is perfect love. He created us to be in love with him. Lastly, number three. See, I told you, so easy. You got it, right? Invite his glory. When you have a revelation of his glory, let it change you. And number three, recognize there's more glory to be experienced. There's more. Now, I say this because some of us have been around for a while. We get into this churchy Christianity thing, and we think we know a lot. And, you know, we probably know so much it defeats our growth, actually. So recognize that there's more to be experienced. God desires to increase and multiply his fullness in you, his glory in you. There really is more. And I want to look at Deuteronomy 5, 24 to 27 here. This is an interesting thought that's brought up in the scripture. Don't you just love the word of God? I just feel like, yummy, 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 yummy. You know, like, such a good thing to eat. It really is. You ever have a down day? If you don't turn to scripture, I don't know what you are doing. Like, I mean, you need to, like, eat the word of God. Like, you need to, like, take it, digest it. Like, if you're, I mean, just keep flipping. You'll find something, I promise. You know, some of you are like, I tried that. I read a verse. Nothing happened. Turn the page. You know, read a different chapter. Sometimes you just got to, you know, like, do that. You know, okay, where's it going to land today? You know, and just go, it's all good. So Deuteronomy 5, 24 through 27 says this. They said, this is the Israelites, look, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness. Wow, they're beginning to experience what their leader experienced. Moses. They begin to see God in his greatness, glory and greatness. And we have heard his voice from the heart of the fire. Today we have seen that God can speak to us humans and yet we live. Whoa. Verse 25, but now why should we risk death again? They're like, that was a dangerous thing for us to do. If the Lord our God speaks to us again, we will certainly die and be consumed by this awesomeness, awesome fire. Can any living thing hear the voice of the living God from the heart of the fire as we did and yet survive? Go yourself and listen to what the Lord our God says. Then come and tell us everything he tells you and we will listen and obey. So get this picture. Is the Israelites are like, Moses! We choose you. You know, there's this song we used to sing, Hear My Lord, Send Me. It's out of Isaiah. Hear My Lord, Send Me. They're more like singing, like, here you are, send him. They're like, Moses, we want you to go. We've just had an incredible encounter with God. His glory, his goodness, his graciousness, his beauty, his infinite mercy. Wow. Oh, my goodness. It was so amazing. I'm like, undone. I can't handle it. Like, wow, it just fries me to my core. My hair is sticking up on end. I guess it was sticking up last service. Sticking up on end, you know, like it just is crazy. But we don't want to keep in this place. This cost us something to carry the glory or to be this close with God. Moses, we pick you. You go close to the fire. You risk your life and go. You get up there with that holy God and spend time with him. And then what he tells you, we'll do. Deal? Now, they weren't all wrong here, because actually God, if you read on, which I don't do right in the sermon, but if you read on, God says they're speaking in an accurate way here, because there was only a limited select few at this time that could enter into the presence of God. The priests were the ones who could carry even the ark of God on their shoulders. There was a very select. This is a special relationship. But now Jesus Christ has come and we've all been given access. We've all been given a place. We've all been made priests. We've all been have the ability to say, God, I'm going to carry the weight of your glory. I'm going to put that presence and your glory on my life and I'm going to come under it, even if it costs me my own life or what I think is life. I'm going to live with everlasting fire. I'm going to live with burnings. I'm going to live with you, Lord. Moses, you know, you think about him. He was really called with fire even. I'm sure they were thinking this. They're like, you're used to this. When God called you, there's a burning bush on the backside of the desert. You're used to this fire thing, right? And Moses got it, though. He understood that there could be the temporal and eternal together, and the eternal would not destroy the temporal. The fire. God can light a fire in you and not destroy you. And this is what we see in these verses, is God wants us to experience the more and not just send somebody else and go, hey, Pastor Caleb, Rachel, you go for it. We're going to applaud you while you go. Look at them go. Look at them go. Would you just give them a clap? No, look at them go. Or, you know, I'm going to send my spouse. My husband really needs to be the leader of the home. He needs to carry this glory thing. I mean, they've been preaching about it. Come on, honey. You get there. You get in with God. You tell me what's happening. You tell me what's going on. And then I'll just do. Yeah, right. You know, I won't even do. But like, you know. We need to do this ourselves. That there's new levels of glory for all of us here present. There's new levels of His fullness for all of us. And not just for one. But I want to say this, and the worship team can make their way up now, but the glory of God is more than just the fullness. It's actually the fullness of God offered to us. It's Him saying, I'm going to place my fullness at your disposal. I'm giving it to you. John 17 tells us He gave His disciples His glory. Gave it to them. His splendor, His radiance, His greatness. Few of us who profess, you know, that we love Christ ever really appropriate the fullness of what this means. And I believe God's calling to us today. I mean, do you sense it? I believe He's trying to work something in us again. To a place where we're going to understand, I was created for intimacy. I was created for this connection. As I read in John 17 to close this morning, you're going to see the link of intimacy and unity and oneness with the glory of God. You're going to see the full manifestation of God's love is linked with His glory. So when we're praying and saying, God wants to give you His glory, we're not saying just some shining, glittery thing, you know, the fog machine, you know, this is greater than water vapor, you know, coming over your life. We're talking about the substance of who God is. John 17 says this, verse 22 through 26, I have given them the glory you gave me. Jesus is praying to the Father. This is His conversation with the Father. He says, I have, Father, given the glory that you gave me. Wow. Fullness of grace and truth. I've given them revelation of who you are. So they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me, and may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. As much. He didn't withhold anything from the Son. I mean, they're like this. You know, Jesus starts out by saying, what you told me to do, that's what I said. What you did, I did. We're completely connected. And God's saying, now I want that relationship with my people. I want us to be like this together. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Continue to release the fullness of the glory. I will continue This is not, didn't stop when Jesus rose from the dead. He says, I'm going to keep doing this for all generations to come. Then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them. Wow. God's calling us somewhere. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm like, God, there's times recently in our worship service that I'm like about to crawl to the front. I mean, you guys, if you see me crawling up here, you know what's happening, but because I get to tell you right now. So crawl. I just feel myself in my spirit. Like, and I know it doesn't have to be just physical because in my spirit, I'm literally crawling to the front of the altar. Just like all again, God, all again, all to you, everything to you, whatever you want, God. I just want you. I just want you. And I feel like this morning, the 3 points that I went through are really where we're going to this response time. But you need to be reminded that His glory is for you. It's not for the person in the front row, you know, just because you picked the back row today. But some of us are holding back and we haven't even been inviting the glory of God into our lives. And God's saying, no, I want you to begin to release the invitation. And some of us, we need closet cleaning to go on. We are limited in the fullness. We're limited in the glory that's manifest and carrying our lives because of things that we are carrying in place of the Lord Himself. Substitutions. Places where you think you'll be satisfied without Him. But I'll just remind you the message of Moses, like, God, even if, don't take me to that lush land if you're not there. I want to be where you are all the time. And others of us, we need to become more aware that God has more for us. Some of us we've grown tired, we've grown weary, we're like, I don't know, I feel like I've kind of reached a place in my spiritual journey. I would call myself mature, but I haven't, it's just kind of there. I'm not going anywhere. God's like, no, there's more. There's more. Go ahead and stand to your feet this morning. If this is you, I believe we should take a step this morning and a step forward and say, hey, this is me. I'm responding. God, I'm giving you myself again. I'm inviting your glory into my life. And as we worship, as we go into this time of worship, let there be a fresh surrender. Like you, some of you need to go like back and forward, and some of you just like, I need to just clean the slate. God's going to do that for you. He's just going to clean off what's been there. I feel like some of you are shackled or chained to your past, and it's preventing you from walking into the fullness of God. And He's cutting those shackles. He's cutting those barriers, because I feel like some of you feel like you take a step forward and you're literally dragged backwards. And there is real resistance. Do you know that you fight an enemy? There is real resistance, you guys. This is not like, there are things that you're going to have to tackle. There are things you're going to have to go up against, because the enemy doesn't want the sons of glory to be manifest in the earth. You know what? The sons of glory to come forth, to be all these radiant ones, shining the glory, radiant presence of God everywhere in the whole world. I mean, greater glory than Moses had, because it doesn't fade away. Some of you need to shake loose this morning and respond. Come, you know, you can come forward and respond. And you know, our prayer team, you know, prayer team, wherever you are, be ready. Like, just be as God leads. But it is time to say, God, I want to give you my all again. God, I'm stirring up my hunger for you again. God, I'm letting it spark something new, a new level of your fullness. I want your fullness. Let's go ahead and worship. Amen.